Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is the final one in a series on the Advent wreath themes. On the first Sunday of Advent, we looked at how God fulfills his promises, particularly by sending a Saviour in Jesus. On the second Sunday, we saw how Christ is our light, leading us out of darkness and making us, in turn, lights that shine in a dark world. Last week, we heard how God loves us and makes us, through baptism, his beloved children. And finally, today, we reflect on how all these things give us hope, hope for the future. As we consider the theme of hope, we'll use as our focus one of the readings from our Advent liturgy, from 1 Peter chapter 1. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope. And so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was younger, I loved to read. My favourite genre was science fiction, particularly novels written post-World War II. During that period, the novels often focused on technical disasters and social upheaval, and how the human race coped and adapted to those challenges. In hindsight, I think I enjoyed those stories for their optimism. Despite challenges in life, the main characters were convinced that everything would turn out all right. They had hope that things would improve if only they persevered. Like most books, those stories were a product of their time. Despite the adversities of the Cold War, or perhaps because of them, the authors wrote about their hope in a better future. Nowadays, I don't get much time to read fiction, but I occasionally watch the latest series on TV. The thing that strikes me about such series, compared with the novels of my youth, is their lack of hope. Sure, those series are exciting. They're well produced and well acted, but most have a revolving door of characters who end up dying sooner rather than later, and usually in horrible ways. They struggle, they die, and that's it. If hope is written into that script, it's usually short-lived, and hopes dashed are probably worse than no hope in the first place. Is that also a reflection of today's society? I think so. In preparation for this sermon, I googled hope and I found a report called the Global Hope Report from Tear Fund Australia, released in September. In the report's summary, it said this: only around 1 in 2 Australians are hopeful about their personal future, but just 1 in 4 are hopeful about the future of the world. That's staggering, isn't it? 1/2 to 3/4 of Australians lack hope in the future. So what's the solution, if there is one? How can people find hope again? Well, of course, you know the answer. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Your hope is in Jesus, whose birth we are preparing to celebrate next week. As Peter wrote in our reading, let us give thanks to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope. Knowing God and what he has done for us, as well as responding in thankfulness, fills people with a living hope. And the report I mentioned confirms this, saying 1 in 3 Australians who believe in a personal God are hopeful about the future of the world, compared with less than 1 in 5 of those surveyed who don't know or do not believe in God. Belief in God brings hope. But note that an individual personal faith alone doesn't guarantee hope. 1 in 3 is still pretty small. That's why the Christian faith is meant to be communal, not just individual. Note in our reading how Peter is addressing Christians as a group, encouraging them that the hope they receive is meant for them as a community. Reading verses 4 and 5. And so we, plural, look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people, plural. He keeps them for you, that's also in the plural, in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Like all God's gifts to us, hope is received in faith. And faith is best nurtured in and by the church, as God fills us with his living hope through his word and the sacraments, and as we encourage each other through the ups and downs of life. Again, the Tear Fund report supports this understanding. It says, Christians who attend church at least once a month are much more likely to be hopeful about the future of the world. 40% of regular church attendees are hopeful, compared with 20% of non-attending Christians. So yes, you already know the answer to the world's lack of hope, to receive God's gifts through Christ Jesus in the community that he has established. The challenge for those who are already in such a community is to share that hope with those who are outside of it. That's why I'd like to spend the rest of the sermon giving you some suggestions on how we explain the hope that we have to others, especially what reasons we can give that the hope Jesus offers is better and more effective than other types of hope. So let's start off by understanding hope from a worldly perspective. In the world, hope is defined mainly as a desire. It's a wish for something good to happen. Now, we shouldn't sneer at this type of hope. Wishful hope can be a powerful motivator, especially if we experience fulfillment of our wishes. Psychologists even tell us that we can foster hope, for example, by learning to get over disappointments and being realistic with our future expectations. The problem, though, with this understanding of hope, with human hope, is that it's limited, just as we are limited. For every story of effective, self-generated hope, there are many stories of hopes being dashed. For example, a soldier named James Stockdale survived 7 years as a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War. James said it was his hope of one day returning home that kept him alive. However, many other soldiers who were imprisoned with James at the same time gave up hope and died from despair. No doubt there were other soldiers there who held on to hope like James, yet they still died from some other cause. Despite their positivity, their best efforts to keep hope alive, they hoped in vain. You could even say that their hope was delusional, that they hoped when there was no realistic chance of survival. Given the unreliability of human hope, then, it's not surprising that many people without faith give up trying to remain positive and ultimately despair, as the statistics show. Okay, so that's a worldly view of hope. So how is Christian hope different? Well, for a start, Christian hope is not simply a wish. Rather, hope is a state of trustful expectation. Christian hope is not created inside of ourselves, but it comes from trust in someone outside of ourselves, someone not limited by our humanity. Our hope comes from God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me. For this reason, Christian hope is not delusional, but confident. When Christians hope in the future, their hope is grounded in the actions of God in the past. In the case of today's reading, Peter grounds our hope in the historical death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what God has already done for us gives us confidence that he will continue to help us into the future. Christian hope is a confident, expectant trust that God will look after his people based on his faithful track record. That's one of the reasons that we celebrate Advent. It's a time to reflect on ways in which Jesus has come to us, bringing God's presence and his gifts. Advent serves as a reminder of God's track record. And our Advent hope stems from the character of God, as we've been exploring over the last three Sundays. In Bible readings and Advent hymns, we have seen again and again how God keeps his promises by bringing light and love to his people. What's more, this Advent we've not just been reflecting on Jesus coming in the past, but his Advents, plural, in the present and future as well. In the past Advent, Jesus came to us as a baby born in Bethlehem. He came as a fulfillment of the promise heard in Micah chapter 5, that he would be like a shepherd who would lead God's people through life, protecting them and granting them peace. This promise was fulfilled through Mary, whose song we sang again today, rejoicing at God's goodness for sending a Saviour who brought light to a dark world and was himself light. Thus, Jesus' light not only illuminated the darkness within people, but he came to lead them out of darkness and into the light of God's love. Jesus' light assured the whole of humanity that he came not to punish, but to save them. He came to give us the hope that the death of the body is not the end for those who belong to God, but rather the start of everlasting life with him. And in the present Advent, Jesus continues to come. He comes to us through his word and the sacraments. In the present, he prepares us not only for Christmas 2024, but for the future, the final Advent, when he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Because of what Jesus has done and continues to do for us, we know our future is safe in his hands, and we therefore have hope that everything will turn out all right. And finally, because we have received and continue to receive Jesus' love, we now have the capacity to reach out with the same love to those around us. Christians have a message that can counter the lack of hope people have for their future and the future of the world. And so we can share that hope by sharing God's love, not just at Advent or at Christmas, but throughout the year, in our homes, our workplaces, and our neighbourhoods. Hopefully I've shown you that Christian hope is not simply a product of positivity or wishful thinking. Rather, our hope is the result of God's track record over many years, confirmed by the lived experience of many Christians. While our hope doesn't spare us from challenges in life, because we have confidence that God is always with us, we can continue to have hope even during suffering. The faithfulness of God in your past gives you hope in the present and for the future, meaning that you can live in the present Advent in peace and look forward to the final Advent with joy. So please, continue to refresh your hope weekly at church, where you hear of God's promises fulfilled and receive Jesus' light and love for your encouragement. And then, filled with his hope, you will be able to share your hope with the world that so badly needs it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.